sudden it got real quiet. Are you thinking those prayers? Our thoughts are prayers, and the words we speak go forth and gather energy and bring into manifestation what we're thinking. And you might say, well, okay, if that's so, then why is it when I think negatively? Is that a prayer too? We really don't differentiate between what's a negative and what's a positive when we're thinking it and putting it out here into the ethers. So all our thoughts are prayers. And if you've never thought about that, think about it now. Think about what you're creating in your world. Makes a difference. Current affairs, what are you thinking about in the current affairs arena? In the health arena, what are you thinking about? Turn those thoughts around to what's possible. If you can't believe it right now that you are whole, think about the possibility that you are becoming whole. And even that is enough. Put that thought out there and watch it germinate and grow. Well, that's not my message for the morning, but sitting there listening to that beautiful song. That's one of my favorite songs. I forgot who that version is by, but I love that song. So, did I say good morning? Or did I jump right into it? I'm going to tell you a little true story about this fast and feast concept. When I was young and in Sunday school, not so many years ago, when I was in Sunday school, Baptist Church, the teacher was teaching us about fasting, and she was saying that we needed to give up something for this 40-day period of Lent. And you know our little young minds, but they never turned us from giving up something material. So, you know, some were saying they were going to give up chewing gum, and some was going to give up Pepsis, and some was going to give up this and candy and that. Well, we know when you give up something material, what's going to happen in more likelihoods when you do so? You're going to pick it right back up. If not during the 40 days, you're going to pick it up after the 40 days. So I got this bright idea at the dinner table. Back then, my mother would... we would all sit down for Sunday dinner. And more than likely, well, all the time, there was always a vegetable, you know, And I'd be praying, let it be green beans, let it be green beans. But inevitably, it was always something like broccoli or Brussels sprouts. So this particular Sunday, we had the fried chicken and the mashed potatoes and broccoli. So my mother looked at me during the meal, near the middle of the meal, and she said, "Why aren't you eating your broccoli?" And I said, "Because I've given it up for Lent." Needless to say, the broccoli multiplied and I had a feast on my hands instead of a fast. Well, this season of Lent, we know it's fertile time All time is fertile, let me make that clear. But usually during the holiday seasons and times of year, everybody is focused, right? And I like that idea because there's a lot of energy going into specific thoughts. Well, most religions, in one way or another, they're focused on the crucifixion and the resurrection idea. And one way they use to get to that point is fasting. Charles Fillmore, co-founder of the Unity Movement and Keep It True Lit, wrote, "Fasting means abstaining from abstinence, which is restraining oneself from indulging in something." And he also wrote, "Fasting, like prayer, is a matter between man and his maker." Good thing I didn't know that when I was sitting there about the broccoli, huh? "Between man and his maker. And Jesus said, appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." Now, it doesn't mean like we think about keeping a secret. It means like going within and not having to blast or boast. Because usually when when I was coming up, we told people we were fasting from soda or Pepsi or whatever. It was because we wanted them to see. We want them to know that we're doing this. Because this is what the world is doing. They're fasting from something that's material. And I'm doing it too. And see me? But that's not what it's all about. It's about bettering yourself. It's about lifting yourself. It's about raising yourself out of the consciousness that you are stuck, that you can't move on, that you can't do any better than what you're doing. The scripture goes on to say, these matters of our communion with God, not matters of public display. They are transactions in mind. We talked a little bit this morning and wanted to talk about choice. Choices are transactions in mind. When you choose what you are going to believe and do and say. And he goes on to say that it is of no use to go through the outer form if the feeling of communion with God is not established. In abstinence from the worldly things, the mind must be filled with thoughts of God, else there's no spiritual value in feasting. In other words, if you're going to pick that thing back up right after the 40-day period, what's the value in it? What have you gotten out of it? What was the use of it? That's why I like what we do here in Unity, what we teach. We teach to fast from negative, erroneous beliefs. It's more efficient if you follow that up with feasting on truth in the experience. This is how to emerge as an overcomer with a higher state of consciousness intact. Fast and feast, they're a dynamic duo. They work together. I like the saying, you can't have one without the other. If you're going to fast from a negative concern, a belief, or erroneous thought, then if you leave that space, you're more apt to go right back to it. You fill that void with something. I like this parable. King James Version, Matthew 12, 43 and 45. It reads, when the unclean spirit, and for us that's the erroneous or the negative thought, when the unclean spirit has gone out of a person, they walketh through dry places seeking rest. These thoughts, when they leave, you know, there are millions of particles of thoughts out here. Have you ever thought about that? Mm-hmm. They're out here just waiting for someone to catch hold and grab it. And man, if you dig into your belief system and see what's in there, some of that may surprise you, the thoughts you've grasped and buried down in there. So it says, when the unclean spirit or the negative thought comes out of you, it searches around for some place to land. And the scripture goes on to say, then the thought saith, I will return to my house from whence I came out. And when it comes back, it finds a whole bunch of other stuff that is related to it, and they all go together and move back in. Have you ever thought you were working on something spiritually that you've let it go, and all of a sudden there's a whirlwind in your life? Stuff comes flooding in that you hadn't thought about in years. And you're wondering, where is this coming from? When you release that negative thought, when you worked on that erroneous thought, did you take time to fill your spirit with truth? So that there's no room for anything to come in. There's no room when that stuff comes back knocking on the door. There's no room or space in your consciousness to take that particular erroneous thought back on. As I was standing here saying that, I thought about there's no room at the inn. Mm-hmm. Put that close sign up. We're not taking any of that back in here. Because we've lifted our consciousness to a higher frequency. Often we do a good job of letting go. Oh man, I can let go of things. But we neglect replacing the space. I didn't know about replacing the space till I began to study and read some of the Charles Fillmore teachings. I thought you just let the stuff go and it's okay. Never knowing that I needed to take time to breathe, take time to center myself, take time in meditation, take time to focus, take time to fill my mind with things that are truth. And we do that very well here. We have Walk the Talk this morning. We have the book club. If you're not taking advantage of some of these things, join in, take advantage. Fill your mind, turn your thoughts from what you may sit and ponder on that's not working in your life. And oh my, how we do that sometimes, don't we? We can ponder on what's not working. But I like to ponder these days on what is working. So, who wants to be an overcomer in here? Is there some experience or condition or relationship that you want to be the overcomer, you want to be the victor in. If there is, you must begin with the source that drew that lesson to you in the first place. And that's the fast. That's the fast. And the other half is feast. For me, like I said earlier, the two go hand in hand. As seekers to live a Christ life, we must fill our minds with truth, fill our hearts with truth, stand on it no matter what it looks like out here, no matter what the appearance is telling you. You have to look through that to the truth of it. And the truth of it is what? The truth is, you're not going through that experience alone. You have that within you that will get you through it. You have the wisdom of the Christ within every cell, every muscle, every tissue of your body. And that wisdom will assist you when you take time to connect to it. You have the strength of the Christ in every cell of your body. That's the truth. It may be, things may be happening all around you. You may be in the midst of a storm. But the truth is, you have the strength, the wisdom, the love, the peace to make it through. This that we're experiencing in the world, you have the love, the peace, the wisdom, and the strength to make it through. But you have work to do. You have to make sure that when you empty your vessel of that stuff, that it doesn't come flooding back in. You replace it with the truth of the matter. In some material I read, it said, fasting from unwanted beliefs and feasting on truth statements can quite literally change the way you see the world. Before the feast must come the fast. You must make that space. You must let go of the erroneous thoughts and immediately feast on truth. So we're planting seeds this season of Lent. Did you know that? Did you know you were a farmer? We're planting seeds. And every Sunday I get up here, I'm planting seeds. I want you to take the seeds and think about what is being said. Take time to incorporate them in your daily life through your own consciousness of what's going on around you. So we're partaking of a feast. Are you feasting on fear? Or are you fasting on truth? How about fasting from the belief that persons or nations can stand in the way of God's good for humankind? That's a big one, isn't it? But that's what I'm fasting on. That there's one power and presence in the universe. And if you're not into believing that yet, then you're going to have a challenge out here. Keeping yourself focused and grounded. Every time I think of something, I think one presence, one power. We're all moving in this energy. One presence, one power. There is a way through every situation. One presence, one power. And that's the truth for me. Is that true for you? So feast on affirming the power of the Christ presence indwelling in all persons everywhere. No one is excluded. All persons everywhere. It's just that some may not be aware that indwelling in them is the power and the presence of the Christ. But that's none of our business. Our business is what? That we're aware and that we're vibrating out and that our energy field around us is pulsing to the universe. One presence, one power in all persons everywhere, working together for the good of all. And we all want to do our part, don't we? To be the peace in the world. I don't mean just think peace. See yourself as being the peace in any situation, in every situation. Practice being the peace, taking that deep breath and letting. If you believe in vibrations, if you believe in energy, feel it pulsing out from you in the midst of anything. You know, there used to be arguments that would break out at work when I worked. And they'd call a meeting and get everybody together. And I was deep into my studies and I thought, I'm going to show up in this meeting as peace and as love. And the whirlwind would be going on and going on, and my turn to speak. And that peace would settle, and I could feel the energy in the room coming down from all that angry and bitterness and that resistance. To a place where we could, in harmony, come to a conclusion or a decision as a group. It works. Try it sometimes when you have to go into, picture just jumped in my mind, into the lion's den. Try it sometimes. Try just breathing in and being peace. Or being love, or being wisdom, or whatever is needed in those situations. So, what I'm going to do in closing, I'm gonna give you some things. And this booklet, this is my 2019. Some of you might have this booklet still. If not, I can copy the pages, and the page that I'm working on personally. I want to share my practice with you during this Lenten season. Usually I pick up one of the books, the Week That Changed the World by Ernest Wilson. Or there's another, Charles Fillmore's book, Keep a True Lent. But this year I decided I was going to grab and work on the 40-day practice for Lent that they put out in the 2019 booklet. And this page is fasting and feasting. And what I want you to do, I want you to get totally relaxed. I want you to take a deep breath And I want you to listen to these words. Of course, I'm going to give you the ones that are specifically mine to work with. But if you want your own, you can certainly ask me, and I'll make you a copy of this page here that I'm working from. So, take a deep breath and think of these words. I fast from judging others. We do that sometimes. We immediately make a judgment without even thinking. So a good thing to do this season of Lent, I fast from judging others. And we've emptied ourselves of that, so I feast on beholding the Christ in them. I feast on beholding the Christ in them. Is there someone in here that comes to mind that you may have passed judgment on without even thinking? You may still be harboring a little resentment or holding a little something against that person. I fast from judging others, and I feast beholding the Christ in them. And another one that I'm working with, I fast from emphasis on differences. We are all one. There's no difference. I fast from emphasis on differences. If I think of you as being one with me, we are the same. We're not any difference. The Christ in me is the same Christ in you. I fast from emphasis on differences. And to fill that space, I feast on the oneness of all life. I feast on the oneness of all life. And here's a good one to work on. I fast from anger. Have you come up against any situation where immediately you were angry? You felt it boiling up within you. I fast from anger, and I feast on patience. I feast on patience. And you can take a deep breath in, and as you release any anger that may be trying to bubble up in your experience, release that and breathe in patience. And another good one is, I fast from worry. If there's anything in your current experience that is causing you that kind of concern, I fast from worry.
Worrying.
Worry. Worry. W-O-R-R-Y. I fast from worry and I feast on divine order. When I know there is an order to everything in the universe, there's no need to worry. When I know I am centered in spirit, there's no need to worry. I fast from worry and I feast on knowing there is divine order at work in everything. I fast from hostility. We all watch the news. We all, at some point in time, may have bought into all the rhetoric. I fast from hostility. Hostility is resisting, wanting to come against something. I fast from hostility, and guess what I feast on? Non-resistance. And that's coupled with when you know there's an order going on in the universe. You can feast on non-resistance. I like Eric Butterworth, you can get into the flow and make decisions from that point, from the point of being in the flow of the energy of spirit. And this one here, I fast from problems that overwhelm. We get so caught up in the experience at times that we hold on and that we just react from that point of the experience when we need to just release that. Fast from the problems that overwhelm. Not ignore them. What you're doing is saying they have no power over you. Fast from the problems that overwhelm and feast on the power of prayer. Prayer works. We heard in the song this morning, our thoughts are prayer. Keep your thoughts stayed on spirit. And there are many, many more here. But just know you can fast from anxiety. Whenever those feelings rise up in you, make you anxious, let fear come into play. Fast from anxiety by feasting on eternal truth. You are a spiritual being, now, forever, always. You are the energy and the expression of God, now and forever, always. Fast on that eternal truth. So this morning, as preparation for meditation, I don't want you to say the Lord's Prayer. I want you to listen to the Lord's Prayer. I want you to take these words in and to feast on them. Our Our Father which art in heaven, in that realm where everything is possible, hallowed be thy name, holy be thy name, that energy that is you, not outside of you, it is you. Thy kingdom come, that room where all the divine ideas of everything that is. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There are times when we think of the will of God where, oh my, but the will of God for you is good. Thy will be done. But we must feast. We must fast from those erroneous thoughts that would tell us that we're less than. We must fast from those thoughts that say, you are not good enough. And we must feast on the will of God, who we are created in that image and likeness, to stand in our power on this universe. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. In other words, if you're holding anything in your heart against anyone or anything or any place, in place of it, give love. That's what forgive is. Forgive is giving something for that negative thought. We want to feast and give it a positive, true thought. Anything that we may think, anything anyone else may think, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not in temptation. We do that when we think of terms in terms of separation. We're not separate, we're one. We're one. And that oneness moves us out of that space that may be generated by the human concept of what's happening in the world. That's what we want to be delivered from. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. One presence, one power, now and always. So take a deep breath with me right now. Take a deep breath and make that inward journey. Start at the top of your head and feel your energy moving from the top of your head down into your heart. There is love there. There is the meeting place between you and your Creator. And as you step into that inner space, you plug in and recharge. You lift those thoughts up. You feast on all that has been provided for you before the very foundation of this universe. God's will for you is to, in consciousness, dwell in that time and space where you know there is no beginning and no end, where you know that you are more than just a body, where you know you are a spiritual being. Step over that threshold into your inner chamber and take a moment to rest in the quiet. And as we prepare to return to the presence of this room, know that you have been renewed and refreshed. Know that the love of God is moving and flowing through you right here, right now, and that every experience is touched by the vibrations of spirit. And suddenly you know what is to be done by you. And you know that any fire you may walk through, spirit is lifting you over those rough spaces. You know that you are one with the one presence and the one power in the universe. And that presence and power is you. And you go forth being what you were created to be. Dear God, we're so grateful this morning. We're grateful that we know first and foremost who we truly are. And that we can merge a sense of that self with all aspects of our being. So for this and all things, dear God, we just give you thanks this morning. We thank you in the name of the living, loving Christ moving in and throughout all creation. And it is so, and so it is. Amen.